Praise God. Thank you for that good song, beautiful song this morning. I hope, I trust that that's your prayer, your testimony in prayer. Take my life, use it for God's glory. Whatever we do, we're supposed to live with that as our aim. Whether I eat, breathe, whatever I do, to do it for God's glory. Praise God. Well, I have the opportunity, the privilege, and an honor to dedicate another baby this morning. I guess they're still babies when they're a year old. Joel and Haley have chosen to have Liam dedicated today. And it is a tremendous honor for me to dedicate babies. So if Joel and Haley and Liam would come, and grandparents of the baby, so that's parents of the mom and dad, would gather in with them, and great-grandparents, you're welcome to come too. Just come right on up, join us right here in the front this morning. You're going to stay back? Don't want to lopside it too much? We don't want to ignore the great-grandparents, even though they elect to stay back. We're just reminded over and over again, several times, about Jesus taking the children and praying for them, holding them, and then quite often telling us how important children are in the kingdom of heaven as well. And using children as an example for us. And so when Jesus tells the stories and he's using these illustrations and he's telling us that for us to become a Christian or for us to make it to heaven, we're going to have to become like a child, then we need to understand that he means that. And it's not that we become illiterate or it's acceptable to be illiterate or anything like that. It's that we bring ourselves to the simplicity of the gospel. And in that simplicity, follow him. And so as we take this time this morning, we understand that God delights in children. He takes pleasure in them. And he provides us as parents with the greatest gift that he can give in things to hold, and that is the children. Children are a heritage from the Lord. And so we have a natural occurrence or natural feeling of dedicating our child to God. And Joel and Haley have felt that this morning. But as we look at it, not only is Joel and Haley presenting Liam to the Lord, they are also presenting themselves, first of all, and making a commitment to raise Liam in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that's exactly what God tells us in Deuteronomy. Speaking to us in chapter 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And here it is as the admonition that comes to Joel and Haley this morning. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And that is the challenge this morning for the parents, Joel and Haley, to teach Liam those very things. There's no higher calling that you have. Working at K&K is far beneath the responsibility of raising Liam to serve the Lord. Being a housewife, it's a full-time, overtime job, but it's wrapped up so much in raising Liam to serve God. Proverbs tells us that a wise son brings joy to the father, but a foolish son brings grief. The best thing that you can do is to teach Liam the fear of the Lord. Not to be afraid of God, but the fear of the Lord. Reverencing Him, respecting Him. Because Proverbs 1:7 tells us that that is the beginning of knowledge. And so that would tell us, that would indicate to us, that no matter what Liam learns in life, the successful application of his fear of the Lord is the basis of everything else in his life, to fear and to follow God. And so the Bible would urge you, Joel and Haley, to love God with every ounce, every fiber of your being, and to teach Liam to do the same. As you love God, and as you love one another, you are modeling for him the wonderful love of God, so that he too will one day love Jesus Christ as well. Joel and Haley, you've come forward this morning before God and his people. You are hereby declaring your desire to dedicate Liam to the Lord. Is this correct? We cannot really talk about dedicating our children unless we too are dedicated to the task of training them, teaching them. So let me ask you four questions that I'd like for you to give a commitment to today. Number one, do you recognize this child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon his life, in the hope that he will one day wholly belong to God? Do you pledge as parents that with God's help, you will bring up Liam in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God and the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord into his life? And finally, do you promise with God's help to make it your regular prayer by God's grace that Liam will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of his sins and for the fulfillment of all of his promises to him, even eternal life? And in this faith, follow Jesus as Lord yourself and obey his teachings. Families are blessed when grandparents can be a participant. And I didn't realize that until my own came along. Feeling over and over again extra blessed when I see some of you with grandchildren that live so far away. And the longing to see them. So it is extra blessing to have grandparents right here present this morning. But Liam's responsibility is grandparents' responsibility as well, so that Liam can walk in the abundant life that Jesus provides. I challenge you as grandparents to encourage Joel and Haley in their effort to raise Liam in the fear of the Lord, so that Liam might know Christ as his Lord and Savior at an early age. And that commitment is something for you to stand by and to support Joel and Haley in as well. And then it's also our responsibility, church, as a part of the body of Christ, that we also have the responsibility to teach the gospel story to our younger generation. And Liam is a part of that responsibility. And so we also must make a commitment, a fresh commitment, a renewed commitment today, so that Liam can understand the claims of Christ and walk and live according to his claims, that we as a church vow by the help of God to be faithful to our calling as members of the body of Christ to help Joel and Haley, to stand by them and to pray for them, to support them, praying that God would help them to be faithful parents and faithful to God themselves, and to help train and teach Liam in the ways of the Lord so that he might one day know the fullness of salvation as well. So that he can make it to heaven. So that he can find it easy to make it to heaven and hard to slip into hell. That's our responsibility as a church. If you agree to that this morning and commit to that this morning, would you together say amen? And so we take little Liam this morning and dedicate him to Jesus Christ. What a smile. You going to give me a hug too? That's precious. Let's bow in prayer. Father, here we take another young lad. Mom and Dad have brought him to you today in the distinct position of dedicating him to you. I pray today that you would help Joel and Haley in this commitment and this dedication, that they too will see and feel and carry out their responsibility for Liam. I pray, Lord, that you would touch Liam. As we give him to you, I pray that you would use him for your honor, for your glory. Touch his eyes, that he would see the things that you would have him to see, and to keep him protected from those things that would be harmful to him. May his hands always be used to bring you glory and honor. His feet that would carry him to places to bring you glory and honor. That he would always be your servant and your child. May he come to know Jesus as his personal Savior. We dedicate him to you, realizing that you lend these children to us, and he is lent to Joel and Haley. And now we give him to you for your service and for your glory. We dedicate him to you today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he is yours. And we ask for your daily touch and guidance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you, buddy. Are you giving smiles? Huh? Are you giving some smiles? You want to go back to Daddy? Looky here. Here, buddy. Is that what you want? Love you, bud. God bless you, Joel. Haley. Bless you. Here, let me get this for you. There's a letter for him for his 12th birthday. God's blessings on you, grandparents. Wonderful to dedicate children.
Blessing him, praise him, all creatures here below.
Praise him, all the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy
Amen. Praise God. Children are a gift from God. What a blessing to have children. Thank God for children. Praise God. Some people wonder about public dedication of children. And there is a reality that you can dedicate a child without coming forward in a public ceremony. And it's also the same that somebody can come forward in public ceremony and still fail to truly dedicate the child. It's really, the bottom line of it is in the heart of the parents. First of all, as a Christian, giving themselves to the task of training and raising the children. And the second thing about it would be, are we as Christian parents, are we really serious about the dedication? Whether we do it publicly or an informal thing in our heart, are we really serious about dedicating our children to Christ, to God? Because when we dedicate our children to God, we are really saying that we want to see our child follow God's plan. And that could be that that child becomes a preacher, maybe a Christian business person, a missionary, or any other type of work. I'm reminded of the story of Hannah, and so often I bring out that in dedications, and I'm reminded of it as a dedication because Hannah prayed with all of her might and all of her heart that she would have a child, would have a son. And she dedicated him. She really dedicated him to the Lord. Not just a formal ceremony, but she really dedicated him to the Lord. And she was so committed to the task that she trained him, raised him for those short, early years so that when he went to live with Eli, that he was committed to following God. Now, we understand that later on in life that Samuel had some problems. Samuel had some failings, shortcomings in raising his own children. But Samuel was God's voice. And when you stop and think about it, Hannah so wholly, entirely trained him or raised him or taught him that even in the environment that Samuel lived, you say, well, what do you mean he was in a preacher's, in a ministry? Yeah, but you think about Hophni and Phinehas. And you think about the influence that they could have had on him. But she had so taught him to be committed to the God of Israel that they seemingly did not have any influence on him, at least no influence in the negative. Maybe the influence that they had encouraged his right ways in his heart. And that's the thing that we have to consider when we're talking about Christian dedication. Do we really want our children to follow God's plan and be so committed to teach them the right way, even at an early age? Even at an early age, to be pleasing to God and oversee that development and model for them. Not only training them by talk, you know, the last verse of the Sunday school lesson spoke about not just in word, but in deed. Not just talk, but an actual deed. Modeling for them the Christian lifestyle, the Christian way, the Christian life, the Christ life. And then finally, I suppose it's good for us to ask ourselves the question as parents, are we together in agreement on it? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. So difficult. So much more difficult. But how important is it that we give our children to God? How important is it? Several days ago, I think it was Tuesday, I read something, and finally yesterday or Friday I contacted the person and asked them if it'd be okay for me to read it this morning. And here's a mother that was sending her 18-year-old son off to on a missions trip, a 3-week missions trip. 2 of those weeks are going to be in Africa. That's a long ways, isn't it? There are some this morning that are struggling with sending their kids to youth camp. I can't blame them. I never did. I took them to youth camp, but not everybody has that option. And so I understand at least a little bit about it. But here was somebody that wrote some thoughts right from the heart about the struggle. Let me read it to you instead of trying to paraphrase it. Maybe it'll get through it faster. It's already 11:29 or something. They didn't say much. Maybe they just thought it or wrote it in a journal nobody found. Mothers of great missionaries as their children left. I looked for their words, but history isn't speaking to me on this one. There are these words written by Amy Carmichael's mother in a letter dated January 16, 1892, quoting, "He has lent you to me all these years, so darling, when he asks you now to go away from within my reach, can I say nay?" "No, no, Amy. He is yours, you are his, to take where he pleases and to use as you or to use you as he pleases. I can trust you to him, and I do." Then the words of Amy's adopted father, Mr. Wilson, who wrote to the mother that, quote, "She has been and is more than I could tell you to me, but not too sweet or too loving to present him or present to him who gave himself for us." Of course, Jim Elliot, ever the orator, himself wrote to his parents on how parents should feel when their children are called to leave for kingdom work. Quoting him, "Grieve not then if your sons seem to desert you, but rejoice rather, seeing the will of God done gladly." Remember how the psalmist described children. He said they were as an heritage from the Lord, and that every man should be happy who had his quiver full of them. And what is a quiver full of but arrows? And what are arrows for but to shoot? So with the strong arms of prayer, draw the bowstring back and let the arrows fly, all of them, straight at the enemy's hosts. End of quote. How is that for helping a parent gain perspective? I really wanted to find the very last words these moms spoke as they waved a hanky at the ship or stepped off the train platform. What did they murmur? What words of blessing and commission did they give when Dietrich Bonhoeffer's brother Walter was leaving to serve his country, though not as a missionary, but as a soldier? Paula Bonhoeffer said to him, quote, "Remember, it's only space that separates us," end of quote. A three-week mission adventure is hardly comparable to the absence of one's child for life. Some great missionaries never came back home. But as my son Stuart prepared for his trip to Africa, I found myself thinking along these lines. I wanted to gain inspiration from these stalwart mothers of other times who lifted trembling hands in farewell and yet mustered the grit and embraced the grace to hand over their children to the God who calls and makes no mistakes. Maybe they left their sons and daughters with wondrous words to hold. As it is, I forgot even to write the note I was planning to slip into my son's backpack. I have to confess, I'm the mom who was worried about my kids riding a school van on field trips. You know, you read about those ordinary trips gone awry. But there is something to this thing of holding our palms up to the one who gave all, who gave his son. Maybe that's what these mothers of old knew, and maybe it was just too precious to share. Maybe they didn't dare write down the sacred assurances that came to them in their surrender. Maybe holding it to the heart was enough. "Mine is a short surrender," she said, "I think, for the time being. But it bears traces of the coming giving." It bears traces of the coming giving. And God forbid that I should ever recoil from flinging my children into his work. Wherever that takes them will be okay. Else I should never have dared call myself his follower. And there is no joy like the thrill of seeing one's children walk in truth, even if it's to the other side of the world. Those are powerful statements and thoughts when we consider dedicating our children to the Lord. God forbid that I should ever recoil from flinging my children into his work. The reality is that if we are the proper followers of Christ, our kids will be called. Make no doubt, make no argument about it. Our kids, our children will be called. Some will be called to work locally. Some of them will be called to work away. Some of them may be called to a distant land to work. But make no bones about it. Our children, if we're the Christian parent and follower that we should be to Christ, our children will be called. Are we holding them? Or are we releasing them to God for his glory, for his honor, so that he can be praised in any capacity that he calls to use them and make them a servant of the King? Powerful words for me, afresh and anew. God forbid that I should ever recoil from flinging my children into his work. Let's take that thought with us this morning. Children are a heritage from the Lord, but he asks us to train them for his glory. Let's stand together. Praise God. Brother Tim Montgomery, it's good to see you this morning. Would you dismiss us in prayer?